I was originally supposed to speak before Donna. I wish I had. She did great. I was a seminarian at St. Patrick's back in 1997, and I met Donna then, and have known her ever since then, and I'm very proud of her. I'm glad to be with you all. Good afternoon. As we gather here today in this rain that is a blessing from God, it maybe can remind us of His grace that's poured out upon us. And with each moment that we stand here, with each moment that we stand up in the midst of difficulty, may we recognize that God is with us. I too want to thank the Knights of Columbus. I want to thank Vince and Louisville Catholic Radio. I want to thank everyone who has participated and all of you who are here. And in a special way today, I want to thank any of you who are veterans. If you're a veteran, will you raise your hand? Thank you very much. As a veteran, you know what it means to sacrifice to protect our freedom. You know what it means to be able to maybe make the ultimate sacrifice, and we are inspired by your life and your dedication and your service to our country, and I thank you. I'm speaking today on behalf of Archbishop Kurtz, who is currently still in Rome at the Synod on the New Evangelization, and he sends his greetings to you. He encourages us to be able to be true to our faith, to be public witnesses to that faith, and he is with us today in prayer and in solidarity as we witness to the value and the role of religious liberty in our free society. So he sends his greetings and his blessings, and please be assured of his prayers. We are gathered here today as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are gathered today called by God and formed by Him, created by Him, given dignity and worth because of that creation and because of the redemption that we have received in Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. We must live out that faith in public. We must be people of integrity who don't do one thing on Sunday morning and a different thing every other day of the week. And so we gather today as witnesses, witnesses to that truth, witnesses to God's love, witnesses for the value of every human life, and witnesses for our religious liberty and our freedom to be able to live out our faith. Donna had mentioned that part of the change in definition that is happening in our society is that we're seeking to redefine religious liberty as freedom of worship, or freedom of religion as freedom of worship, where we are fine as long as we aren't people of integrity, as long as we only stick to Sunday within the church walls or at home praying our rosary. But instead, we know that that is not a tenable solution. It's not a way for us to live. We must live that faith that we have as a freedom of religion in private and in public. The church has a grander vision than just a private religion or a private faith. The grander vision is one in which we serve, where we transform society, where we give of ourselves for those who are marginalized, who have no voice, for the unborn, for those who are poor, where we live that out and make Jesus present in our society, where it is transforming. As many have said, we serve others not because they are Catholic, but because we are Catholic. We're called to serve the world, to serve the poor, the marginalized, and especially the unborn. We do it as a moral obligation, and we do it as a matter of conscience, because how God has formed us and what God has done for us. We're not called, as you know from the scriptures, to take our light and put it under a bushel basket. We are called to put it on a lampstand for all the world to see. And that's part of what we are doing here today. Our desire and our obligation to be public about our faith can be summed up in some sense from Mother Teresa, who once said, if you can't feed 100 people, then you must feed just one. We must act on our faith. We must put it into practice. It is really the meaning of our religious liberty. Right now, you know that that freedom of conscience is being threatened. The threats are many. We hear of them, of course, from the HHS mandate, which forces all employers to provide and pay for coverage of employees' contraception, sterilization, and abortion-inducing drugs. We hear about it from the requirements for Catholic foster care and adoption services that go against the consciences of Catholic teaching. We know of it through discrimination against Catholic humanitarian services, especially for victims of human trafficking. We hear of it in laws that punish charity to undocumented immigrants, a proposal that's out there to restructure Catholic parishes so that the bishop has less influence, state universities that exclude religious student groups. These are all some of the fronts on which this threat to religious liberty is taking place and advancing. Related to the HHS mandate is the redefinition of what it means to be a religious organization, the narrowing of that understanding in law, the final rule that's already come down, and the promise in law of an exemption that has no guarantee of being implemented. We hear of how a religious organization is one in which it only serves people of that faith, where we are only defined or exempted or allowed to follow the dictates of our conscience if we only serve those who are exactly like us. In that grander vision of Catholic theology and understanding of how we live our faith in the world, and in that understanding of how we serve others, not because they're Catholic, but we are, most or many of our organizations and ministries do not fall under that exemption. Just as important, and Donna also mentioned this, is the idea that an individual who has strong held beliefs cannot follow those beliefs as an employer, as an organization, that they don't have the opportunity to live out that faith in freedom. With the bishops of the United States, we do call for the total repeal of the HHS mandate. If this is not done, we also call for the inclusion and expansion of an exemption according to the broad and consistent definition of religious organizations that doesn't redefine it as it currently is, and the restoration of conscience protections for all employers, whether a nonprofit, whether a religious organization or not, that they may follow their conscience in the public sphere. We do this knowing that God is always with us as people of faith, that He is with us today and He is with us every day. We must, as Archbishop Kurtz often says, we must be people who influence society, who speak our faith with courage, with civility, and with compassion. He calls it the three C's: courage, civility, and compassion. Courage to speak the truth, civility towards others, and ultimately a compassion towards all, especially the most needy. It is a challenge for us to pray for God's providence, to pray for His presence with us, that we may be transformed by His Spirit, and that we may be people who shine a light in this world, shine a light for truth and love, shine a light for the dignity of every human being, shine a light for God's love and compassion towards all. I encourage you today to continue to use your voice to speak out for your faith and for the protection of religious liberty, and also in your lives on Sunday and every day to live that faith with authenticity, to allow God's love to dwell in you and to be a sign for others. We do not know what's going to happen in November, and we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. In all things, we trust in God's providence, for He is the one who is with us. I thank you for your witness. And as we approach November, and as we approach the years beyond, that we be truly Catholic, true to who God has made us to be, and true to who God has called us to be. May God bless us all. Amen. Thank you.